You have your Bibles. Can you open them to Luke chapter 18? We want to look at verses 1 through 8. You just sang a couple of prayers. One was, yes, Lord. And then you sang, make me a house of prayer. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. And then, Lord, make me a house of prayer, whereby I'm seeking you day and night, night and day, so that the fire on my altar will not burn out. That I don't become tired and weary of crying out to you, but I do it with a sense of urgency. And I need you to make me a house of prayer. Luke 18, beginning with verse number 1. We have it on the screen. So when you found it in your particular Bible or your device, I want you to look up and read from the screen so that we're all reading together. The same thing. Amen. Hold your spot where you are, but let's read it from the screen together. All right. Are you ready? Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. The Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, will he find faith on the earth? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Will you be ready, huh? Yeah, 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 yeah. Will he find faith? Will you be ready? And so for the next few moments, I just want to talk about the urgency to pray. The urgency to pray. I said, yes, Lord, and then make me a house of prayer. But then the urgency to pray. Because prayer is one of the fundamental gifts, but it's also one of the fundamental disciplines God requires of his people. Prayer is actually one of those things that people are going to do whether they are of the Christian faith or not. Amen? Those who are living and breathing are going to pray. The question always becomes, to whom are they praying? Every known religion of the world has as a part of its religious practices prayer. Some pray at designated times of the day. Some pray as they move along. But regardless of what their orientation or their religious practice is, they have it. Prayer as a part of that practice. It doesn't matter if they are witches or warlocks. They pray. Amen. They pray. They conjure up things in their prayers against those who are not a part of their circle, so that the power of the particular God that they are worshiping in their minds will prevail. So if one has a heart that is beating, alive, one is going to be prone to pray. And that is because God, who is the creator of all mankind, has already placed eternity in every man's heart. So every individual is searching for that which can only be filled by God himself. But even though some will reject him, it does not stop them from the sense and the desire and the urgency to pray. Sometimes folks are pushed into praying because of hard times. Sometimes the prayer is as short as, "Lord, have mercy." Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be, "God, help." In a moment of crisis, those who have never, ever uttered a prayer will all of a sudden decide to pray. And you've all seen and heard about those individuals who get pushed sometimes to that point of where they say, you know, they start praying that prayer, "If you real, I'm going to try you, because here I am. I've tried everything I can. I need help. I'm desperate. If you real." And so it pushes them to the place of prayer. But for you and me, for those of us who have been called into a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, prayer should not be a forced endeavor. Should not be that I get in a crisis and then I am compelled to pray. In fact, for you and me, prayer should be a privilege. It should be a privilege. Because what prayer really is prayer is communication with God. Isn't it? Prayer is talking to and having a conversation with God. And that's a privilege. Because not everybody can get an audience with God. But because you know the way, the truth, and the life, you got a key to the door. Therefore, he says to you, "Come boldly, boldly, without hesitation, approach the throne of grace. Come, stand before me. Come, kneel before me. Come, bow before me. And let's talk about it." So for you and for me, those who are in a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, prayer then becomes a privilege, because it grants us access, unlimited access, to the one who sits high in heaven on the throne, the King of glory. He allows us to come in at any moment, at any time, with any request, all in the name of his son, Jesus. And so we don't have to wait until we're in crisis mode to pray. In fact, he encouraged us not to wait until a crisis comes. He says you need to be cultivating that relationship with me on a regular basis, so that when I hear your voice, I know who it is that's calling me. And when I talk to you, you recognize my voice, and a stranger you don't follow. And so he says you are to cultivate it, because not only is prayer communication with God, it is the essence, or it is the core, or it is the vehicle for developing an intimate relationship with God. Amen? Prayer is that means by which we develop this intimate relationship with God. God speaks to us in a myriad of ways through his word primarily. But then he helps us by his spirit to understand and interpret circumstances as well as times that are consistent with his word. And so he speaks to us by his word, and this exchange is taking place through the course of prayer, communicating with God to develop an intimate relationship with him. You and I know that prayer has multiple definitions, that there are many different ways we can pray. There is private prayer and there is also public prayer. Amen? There are those times where, you know what, this has to be a quick prayer because I don't have time to get into all of the other stuff that goes with it. So it's got to be, when you say, Lord, help, that's quick. Amen. And so prayer, while simple, also has its own complexities, its various nuances, but at its core, it becomes communication with God to develop an intimate relationship with him for a healthy exchange. You want a formal definition? I'll give you one that's not new. Prayer is the humbling of oneself before the creator and sustainer of life, in acknowledging that I need his guidance, his wisdom, his strength, his intervention as I sojourn in this temporary place of residence that is hostile to kingdom citizens. Amen? Prayer says, God, I need you to be able to make it in this world, because this world is not my home, and because there are folk who are hostile to me, there are systems that are hostile to me, and I don't have all the answers, but because you are the all-knowing God who knows my beginning from my end, you know what you set up in the middle, I need you, God, and so I'm going to communicate, pray with you so that day by day, I hear and understand your will. I hear and receive your wisdom. I allow you to intervene into my circumstances so that I can have all that I need to carry out your purposes in my life. That becomes prayer. And as we begin 2024, I want to encourage you to have an urgency in your spirit about prayer. Amen. I want to encourage you to pray without ceasing. I want to encourage you to pray that song we sang, day and night, night and day. I want to encourage that type of attitude to be upon you, that I'm praying day and night, night and day, because I need God to help me with some stuff. Primarily, God, I want to become all that you have called me to be and purposed me to be. And there have been some things that are fighting against me, including me. And I need you, God, to break this foolish cycle that I'm in so that I can move forward in your ways. And I want to tell you that that cycle will not be broken unless you have an urgency about prayer. If you remain casual, taking for granted the gift of prayer, you will continue to receive exactly what you put in. For you will reap according to your sowing. So if you're going to sow little prayer, you're going to get little power. You're going to get little provision. You're going to get little covering. You're going to get little progress. Because it's going to be commensurate with the way in which you sow. But if you are looking for dynamic change and transformation, you've got to act like it. And it has to be demonstrated in the way you pray. Amen. Can't stay in the same place that we were. In case you haven't noticed, things seem to be getting progressively worse. And if you haven't noticed, I don't know where you've been. Right? But things are getting progressively worse. And if things are getting progressively worse, that means you need to change the way you're dealing in the environment. You can't continue to still run at the same pace when everything else or operate in the same mode when everything else is getting worse around you. Jeremiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, was complaining to God. He was like, God, I'm getting tired of all of these attacks around me. And he was like, why, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? And just complaining. He was complaining. And God said to Jeremiah, if you're not going to be able to hold your own while you're dealing with foot soldiers, what's going to happen when the horsemen come and you got to fight? He says, you've got to be able to stand your ground. And then when the battle changes, you've got to be able to shift modes and then go to the next level and ready to fight. Amen. I love football. In case y'all didn't know, I love football. And you know what? NFL playoffs is here. I think this is the last week of the regular season, and then we're getting ready to get into the playoffs. And you know the playoffs mean this: when you lose, you go home. And you know every team is in pursuit that made the playoff. They are in pursuit of the Super Bowl. They want to be Super Bowl champions. But the only way you make it there is you got to win game after game. And so you know the play goes up a whole nother level. Whatever you saw during the regular season, doesn't matter how good it was, it's not going to match or compare what you're going to see in the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, it's like, if I don't win today, I'm going to be at home watching somebody else next week. And so they take it to another level. And you start seeing folks laying themselves out for the victory. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I want to say to you and me, we're at the next level. And because we're at the next level of whatever is going on, you've got to change the way you operate. You've got to change what you do. And you've got to move in such a way that you begin to function spiritually at the next level so that you can continue to experience victory. Amen. It's an absolute must. So there must be an urgency first and foremost regarding prayer. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, listen, first of all, I want to urge you and encourage you to make requests and prayers for all men. Paul was saying to Timothy, this is at the top of the list. You need to be praying, brother. Top of your list. And so as you start to look at your goals, your priorities, your objective for 2024, at the top of your list, you ought to say, oh, I'm going to have an urgency about prayer. Amen. I'm going to have an urgency about prayer. Because if I don't have an urgency about prayer, even what I put on the list may not be legitimate. Amen? If I don't have an urgency about prayer and what I put on the list, I don't begin to pray over it, I'm going to come up short of where God wants me to be. And so of first importance, of initial importance, it must be an urgency about prayer. I've got to change my mindset about prayer. I've got to change my attitude about prayer. And wait a minute, I've got to change my practice regarding prayer. Amen? It's got to happen. Can I just tell you, we said that prayer is about communicating with God. Can I tell you, you don't talk about prayer, you actually do it. Amen? Amen. Can I tell you, you don't study about prayer. Studying about prayer ain't praying. And I'm going to tell you, I study a lot about prayer. I do. But all that studying ain't praying. If I've studied and studied and studied, but never prayed, I haven't achieved the mission. Thinking about prayer ain't praying. Amen? See what I'm saying? You got to change your attitude. You got to change your mindset. You got to change your practice. Saying that I'm going to start praying ain't praying. Amen? And it's inexcusable, because the only thing that's stopping you from praying is you. I'm going to start praying when? When I get home? You ain't got to wait till you get home. We serve the God who is not limited by time nor space. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. If you open up your mouth, I will hear you. I ain't that hard to find. Talking about, I'm going to wait till I get everything in order. You ain't got stuff in order yet. What makes you think you're going to get it in order now? No, thinking about praying ain't praying. And so we got to change our attitudes. We got to change our mindset. We've got to change our practice. And we just got to start doing it. Thank you. Amen. Just do it. Do it whether it's raggedy. Yeah, yeah. Unsophisticated. Just do it. Do it whether you stumbling over your words. Just do it. And do it the way, can I say this? The way you talk. Amen. Don't do it. Don't do it the way I talk. Come on now. Remember, because it is personal communication between you and God. It is without pretense. And if you come before God with personal communication, trying to talk like somebody else, God will be, who is? That fits into hypocrisy. That's acting, right? So don't come in front of me acting and pretending like I don't know who you are. Because God knows about your personality. He knows about your style. And specifically, he knows about your needs. And if he's wanting a personal relationship with you, he's wanting to impact you personally, not the person that you're pretending to be. So it is a change of mindset, a change of attitude, and it's a change of practice. But most importantly, you're just learning how to do it, and you're doing it regularly. And can I tell you that if you have struggled in the area of just praying, when you start to do it, what God does is he comes along and he helps you. Because he has never called you and me to do anything on our own, but he has always said that if you start, what you're going to discover is I'm right there with you. I'm going to help you. In fact, if you're trying to pray by yourself without his help, we're in trouble. In fact, you need the Spirit of the living God to help you pray right. Amen. In fact, you need the word of God to help you pray right. Amen. And this is not something that you just go and do all on your own. I'm just going to start talking about what's on my mind. That's okay, because God says, come to me with everything. But he says, now let me grow you up. Don't be offended by this, but it's okay for you to babble before God when you are a baby. Right? Amen. You know how it is when babies just learning. We think that's cute right now. But now don't let him be 5 years old over there doing that. Wait a minute. Now you ought to be able to say wawa or water by now. Amen. And so it's okay to start there. But God says that I'm going to help you grow progressively. And so he says, I want you to start wherever you are and let me take care of the rest. And your job is just to make it a regular practice. Can I go back to the song? Day and night, night and day. Where you're not letting the fire on the altar burn out because you are constantly calling on him and staying before him. Amen. It's urgency to pray. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, there's this incredible parable that Jesus tells about this widow who had a problem, and she kept going to this unjust judge who did not want to acknowledge the problem that she had. He had the power to grant her justice, but for whatever reason, he kept ignoring her, telling her to go away. But she knew that he had the power to resolve her issue. And so day and night, night and day, day after day, she just kept going before this judge trying to get justice. She was like, grant me justice against my adversary. Jesus used this parable. If you remember the first part of the verse, can you pull it up, verse number 1, I think it was. He said he used this parable to say to his disciples that you ought to always pray and not give up. He used this parable to say that even though you come and make your request and you don't get your response the first time, he says, give up. Keep praying. Have a sense of urgency about you that the thing that you are asking for, you need and want so badly that you won't stop until you get a response. That you make it your practice of going in regularly. Now, Jesus is teaching this to his disciples. He says, pray and don't give up. He's reminding them of how important prayer is in the relationship between the disciple and God. I'm sorry. Don't get mad. If you ain't praying, I'm just saying that his children pray. If you ain't praying, either you are a rebel a rebellious child. That's right. You know, rebellious. You know, some, you know, you just got some children that just ain't going to do what they supposed to do. Either you're a rebel, you're rebellious, stubborn, or you ain't. Or you don't belong to him. That's true. Either you are rebellious or you don't belong to him. Here's the good news. If you're rebellious, stop being rebellious. Just stop being rebellious. If you don't belong to him, all you got to do is acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That he died so that you might become a child of God. And God raised him from the dead so that you might live eternally with him. And he said that if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be snatched from your empty way of life, that you will be snatched from the kingdom of darkness, and you will be brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And he will say, you are my beloved. And then he'll say, now get to praying. Hallelujah. Let me share this with you because I think it is extremely critical in this parable that he's talking about. This woman, and he's using these three different illustrations or these points to kind of help us understand some dynamics about it, right? So he's saying to his disciples, pray and don't give up. Even when you don't receive necessarily the answer that you think you should be receiving, that you should continue to press in. I want to share with you what a writer by the name of J. Oswald Sanders said about this particular parable. And I want to read it to you because I thought he was kind of spot on in terms of helping you and me understand the significance of being urgent in our praying. But he also just deals with some practical components about the truth of who God is. So he says, the parable of this heartless and unprincipled judge who has neither reverence for God nor respect for people teaches us an important lesson. That if the defenseless but troublesome widow, by her shameless persistence, can overcome the reluctance of the unjust judge to do her justice, how much more will the believer be speedily vindicated in the court of heaven? This is a woman who, by her persistence, overcame a judge who did have no respect for God, nor did he fear men. But yet she overcame him. And he said, and God ain't nowhere close to being like this judge. That's what you need to get. That the parable is not trying to say you've got to pray like that to overcome God and his hardness. No, God is not hard like this judge. God is different. Let me keep reading. Where we have a strong advocate whose character is the exact opposite of the judges. And so he says, in heaven, we have a strong advocate, and our advocate's character is different than this judge. And he says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Let me pause because I need you to remember something, that God's economy of time is not like man's. Sometimes we are wanting God to do something really, really quickly in what we call quickly, and God is not responding really, really quickly. And when God is not responding really, really quickly according to our time scale, we become frustrated and angry, and we will quit like God is running out of time. And so when God says you will get justice quickly, what God is saying is that you're going to get justice when it is time for him to give you justice. And when he gives you justice, he's going to right everything that has been done to you. And he's going to take care of all the issues that you've been dealing with. And your job is to not throw in the towel, but to trust that he is able to deliver. Yeah. And so he said he's going to. You just keep trusting him. You're going to get what you need to get. I'm going to skip this and read this paragraph because this is important. So I was talking about you and I have got to change the way we think. We've got to change our mindset, and we've got to change our practice about prayer, that we've got to have an urgency about prayer. We've got to stop talking about praying, and we've got to start praying. Amen. We've got to start doing it. We've got to start taking the items, the issues of our hearts that are heavy upon us, even what God is pointing, and we've got to start laying them out before God. Listen to what he says. The lesson is this, that lukewarmness in prayer, as in everything else, is nauseating to God and comes away empty-handed. On the other hand, shameless persistence, the importunity that will not be denied, returns with the answer in its hands. If you stay, plugged in, God will hear and he will respond. Amen? You hear and he will respond. There's a parable similar to this that you'll find over in Luke chapter 11. I want to encourage you to read that. For it is there that the disciples say, God, Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus begins to teach them to pray. Then he talks about how this neighbor goes to another neighbor's house at midnight trying to get some bread. The neighbor beating on the door. And the guy on the inside is saying, look, man, you know it's late. Go back to your house. So I'm not giving you any bread. The man on the other side of the door act like he can't hear, and he keeps knocking. But man, I have a friend who has come, right? And I need to show him some hospitality. Dude, can you help a brother out? What did I just tell you? Me and my kids got our night clothes on. Blankets wrapped around us tightly, and I'm not gonna get up, even though I'm your friend. What? I'm not gonna do it. And the man says, I will not be denied. You know you got some bread in there. Don't you make me walk away embarrassed. Back to my house and tell my traveling friend that well, ain't none of my neighbors willing to let me in to get some bread. So he keeps beating, and finally the man on the inside says, okay, let me get up and give you some bread. Because obviously you're not going to let us sleep. I'm in bed, but you're not going to let us sleep, right? And so he eventually gives him the bread. Jesus uses that parable to say again to his disciples. Talks about persistency. Remember it? Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. And then at the end of that parable, Jesus tacks on this important thing, because he's saying the friend who was unwilling to get up finally got up. But he says, how much so, more so, will God then give good things to those who ask of him? He says, if you as a friend or as a father know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will God give good gifts to his kids, his children, who ask? And then in one version it says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, who is the ultimate gift, right? In both of those cases, it is the idea of the fact that God, who is generous, does not require you to beg relentlessly. But he does require you to have an urgency about you. that he does require you to stay at the door talking with him, engaging him until you have the thing that you need. He does say that if you come knocking, that he'll open up the door for you and he will take care of your needs. As you and I move into 2024, let's begin the year with this urgency to pray. To say, God, I dare not go another day without pursuing you and seeking you with all my heart regarding the issues that concern me. That God, I dare not try to lay out my agenda, my priorities for the year without first hearing from you. And the only way, God, that I can truly hear from you is if I come and lay myself before you and begin to seek your face. And that, God, I know that, yep, I got stuff that has to be done. I know I can't stay on my face night and day 24/7. But, God, I am going to learn how to reserve time so that I can come and seek you in a new way for fresh revelation. So that you can affirm, God, where you've called me and how you are moving me. And so, God, I'm not going to go any farther in 2024 unless I have pursued you in saying this is how you want me to go and where you want me to go. In fact, God, I don't want to go through 2024 without you. In fact, God, if you're not going to be with me, just let me sit here and soak for a while. Because if I dare try to go through this year without you, I already know I'm not going to make it. And so my prayer and my praying is my acknowledgement that I need you to make it through. I need you. I'm not going to take it for granted that just because you brought me through 2023, you're going to keep on being gracious to me. No, I want to acknowledge that I need you moment by moment, day by day. And I'm going to demonstrate it with this attitude that I have an urgency to call out your name on a regular basis. I'm going to do it, God, where I'm reserving time where it's just me and you. I'm going to do it, God, where I'm reserving time where I've grabbed me a prayer buddy and it's just me and my prayer buddy. I'm going to reserve time, God, where I come with the body of believers and we all begin to pray together because I'm going to have an urgency to pray. So I know, God, if I can hear from you, then you're going to direct my path. You're going to make it clear where I should go. And I know the only way I can get that kind of clarity is seeking you. So I'm going to have an urgency to pray. Amen.